Amen. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the unconditional love of God. I just got through with what we call Faith Library 1. My dad and myself split that. And our Faith Library is not just the books on faith, but all the Faith Library. And so I actually teach from my grandfather's book, Love the Way to Victory. And so, you know, I just have been feeling about talking about the unconditional love of God. John 13:34 says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." You know, when Jesus walked on this earth, he simplified everything the law tried to complicate. He didn't give us 613 commandments. He didn't give us 10 commandments. He only gave us 2 commandments. You only have to follow 2 commandments. You know, I mean, you know, it's not hard to do 2. All right, what are the 2? Well, the first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart. I call that the no-duh commandment, all right? If you can't love the Lord with all your heart, then you're probably not a Christian, all right? So that one's the easy one, and then we get to the one that might not be so easy. It says, love your neighbor as yourself, and anyone notice it uses yourself? If you love yourself, you have to love your neighbor the same way you love yourself, and that's where it might be a little hard, especially if you know your neighbor. And, you know, unfortunately, this is not talking about the guy that lives next door. This is talking about the Mr. Rogers neighborhood. All right? Everybody's your neighbor. Everyone in this room is your neighbor. And these are probably not the people you're having trouble loving. It's the ones you work with, the ones you hang out with, the ones you might go to school with. You know, but the Bible says, number one, love God. Number two, love people. Now, here's the thing people always say, well, I have to love people. No, you get to love people. You get to love people. You get to show people how much God loves them by the way you love them, because they look at you like that you know God. And love fulfills all the law. You realize if you love someone, you're not going to kill them. If you love someone, you're not going to steal from them. You love someone, you're not going to take their stuff. You're not going to. And so love fulfills all the law. So when we walk in love, we walk in God, because the Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. All right? I mean, that's God's nature. You know, God's love is unconditional. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus said it best himself in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world but that the world through him might be saved. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know how many of you have sons, or, you know, doesn't matter if sons, daughters, kids. You know, nobody would want to sacrifice your own son or your own daughter. But God sacrificed his own son because he loved you that much when you hated him. You know, and the thing is I always point out that Jesus died for the sinner. All right, not for the Christian. Of course, obviously, there was no Christian until Jesus died. But the thing about it is, we almost act like, well, if someone's a worldly person, you know, sometimes we as Christians, because we're better than they are, or whatever you want to say, you know, we condemn them. But you know what? Jesus loved them, and he died for them, and God's the one who sent him. All right? You know, Jesus came for the sinner. And so a lot of times it seems that our attitude is, well, when someone's acting like a sinner, we get mad at them. You know what? If the devil's their God, why wouldn't they act like that? Why wouldn't they be mentally confused and not figure out what sex they are and all these kind of things? And, you know, and we condemn them, but they're just living the way they live. You know, we might not like it, but that doesn't mean we don't love them and want them to change. But they're not going to change if you keep telling them, you know, well, you're doing this. You realize that most sinners know they're sinning. There is some, you know, I believe that we're all born with a moral compass. And I believe that people know, and they don't need you to tell them. It's kind of like, you know, if someone gets into a car wreck and it's their fault, you know, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your kids, and you're like, why'd you do that? Like they really meant to? I mean, you know, they weren't trying to get into a car wreck. You know, and the deal is for us to complain, it just makes it worse. But we should show forth God's love to the people who seem unlovable. You know, hopefully if someone walks in here that seems unlovable, that we will treat them with love, because that's what God would do. Or that's what God does, not just what he would do. You know, God's love is not based on what we do, it's based on who he is. He loves us unconditionally. He didn't love us because we were lovely. He loves us to make us lovely. And here's the thing, people don't change overnight. You know, if someone comes to the altar, gets saved today, tomorrow they're not going to be completely different. In fact, they probably don't even know the rules yet. Do you realize, you know, I mean, we have all these rules that are not even in the Bible. You know, they have been their own convictions. Now, I'm not saying they're not good, but, you know, they don't even know. They're just learning. They have no clue. Do you realize when you start school in kindergarten and whenever you graduate in 12th grade, things have changed in your life? You know a whole lot more in 12th grade than you do in kindergarten. But we don't expect a kindergartner to know a whole lot, do we? So why do we expect someone who got saved yesterday, you know, to be a high schooler or a junior high schooler? I mean, you know, they don't know what 2 + 2 is. You know, and so we, for whatever reason, because we have this, well, people should change. No, you should love them regardless. All right, and the other side about it is, God's love is unconditional. There is no strings attached. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't out-sin it. And you can only receive it. Just that simple. You know, there's a world out there that needs to know that God loves them. And by looking at some Christians, we wonder if God does love them. You know, and hopefully I'm not talking to anyone in this room. Hopefully everyone in this room is loved. And you know, hopefully everyone in this room is not judgmental. But overall, sometimes I don't even like to admit that I'm a Christian until people like me. I always point out the time I got my hair cut. I get my hair cut all over the place because I travel quite a bit. And so I was at Floyd's 99 Barbershop, downtown Denver. At that time, my mother-in-law and father-in-law were living in Denver, so we went there for the weekend. We stayed downtown because, actually, I got a really good deal because it was the weekend and there wasn't a lot of conventions going on, and there's some cool things downtown Denver. But I needed my haircut, so I showed up, and it was either Friday or Saturday, I can't remember. And it was around noontime, and so, you know, whenever you don't have anything, they just pick somebody out. The lady that they picked out for me had, like, multicolor hair. By looking at her, we would probably judge her, you know, or whatever, thinking, but, you know, I don't care. I just need a haircut. I did tell her, I said, man, if I needed my hair colored, you'd probably be the great one, the best person in the place to do it. But, you know, because you obviously know how to do hair color. She laughed about that. You know, and so it was around noon, lunchtime. So her first question to me was, have you started drinking yet? I'm like, no. I wasn't lying. All right. And then she began to to talk about different things, you know. And I knew, I was just praying that she didn't ask me what I did right off the bat. But, you know, it got to the point where I knew she liked my personality because I'm funny, you know, I'm not always serious. And then it got to the point, she says, "What do you do for a living?" And of course, I told her what I did, that I'm a minister of the gospel. And she laughed because she thought I was joking, you know, because I was not your typical minister of the gospel, you know, and I typically didn't answer her questions like a minister would answer her questions. So the next thing out of, well, actually, when she said, "Yeah, you're joking, right?" I said, "No, I got a degree in accounting, but I don't work in accounting. I'm a preacher." And she said she never has met a preacher like me. So my next question is, "Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" That was my next question out of my mouth. And she says, "Yes, I am born again. I went to church, all my childhood. But because of all the rules and all the stuff at my church, I quit going to church. And, you know, but I am saved." I said, "Well, that's great. I mean, you know, the biggest thing is that you got saved. But, I mean, you know, it is good to go to church. I mean, I said the Bible says not to forsake the assembling ourselves together. It's good to find a church." And I said, "I'm sorry that so many people in your church were condemning, but we don't serve a God who's condemning. We serve a God who loves people no matter what." And we begin to talk about, you know, different things. And you know what she said? "Well, if you had a church here in Denver, I would go to your church." See, she saw me differently because the way I act was differently. The way I treated her was differently, and I treated her with respect. I did ask her if she was saved, and then she told me she was. Because my next thing, if she wasn't saved, we're going to talk about that. But she goes, I know God. She just wasn't walking in what she knew because of the condemnation she felt as a teenager. You know, obviously let her know that we're online and different things like that. But the deal is how are people perceiving you? You know, but God's love is unconditional. It doesn't matter what we've done. Just like a parent. A parent doesn't stop loving their child because they make mistakes. Their behavior might disappoint, but the relationship doesn't end. That's how God loves us. Only stronger, purer, and deeper. It doesn't matter what my child might have done. You know, even if they end up in prison for what they've done, we still love them. How many times have you talked to especially a praying mom, you know, and they're praying for their child? There's nothing that they can ever do that would stop them from praying for their kid. They love their kid unconditionally. So how much more can our Heavenly Father love us? And how much more does He love us? The problem is, you know, sometimes when we see other Christians, we don't feel that love that God shows to the world. And we should be examples. Do you realize that each and every one of us are made in God's image? Now, one reason we do have trouble loving our neighbors is we don't love ourselves. And that's a whole other issue. We have to decide to love ourselves. Because Whitney Houston says, that's the greatest love of all, learning to love yourself. You know, you were made in the image of God. You need to decide that, you know, you are one of a kind. All right? I mean, you're one of a kind. There is no clone. And, you know, maybe your kids might look a little bit like you, but you're not the same. God made you. And, you know, I get it. You know, people say, well, you're this, you're that, or whatever. You know what? Be comfortable in your own skin. Decide it doesn't really matter. God loves me the way I am, no matter what. Now, love is a command, not a suggestion. John 15:12 says this: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus didn't say, "I would really like you to love people. That would be really cool." No, he says, "This is my commandment." You know, it's interesting how, we don't see that as a big deal. Do you realize if you have a test and you have two questions and you miss one, that's a 50%, that's failing. And a lot of us are failing in our love walk. And here's the deal. It's because, you know, well, people are rude. People are mean. People have done things. I get it. People are people. You know, but God loves us regardless. And that's why Paul kept talking about having the mind of Christ. Because Jesus loves everyone. Now, we sing about it in children's church. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. And then they grow up and he doesn't like them anymore. No, that's not how we sing. He still loves us when we grow up. And you should too. All right? You know, he didn't say, I really like you, love people. It's not always easy to love people, especially those who hurt you. But love is a decision. It's not a feeling. You don't have to feel love to show love. You know, it's the Bible doesn't say treat people like they treat you. It says treat people like you would want to be treated. You're like, well, but this guy's always doing bad things to me. Well, you know, so. You know, I mean, does it really matter? Ultimately, you're going to heaven. You guys realize you're not in first grade anymore or fifth grade? You need to figure out that it doesn't matter what people think about you, even what they say about you. You know, remember what we used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? It's not really true in an adult life, especially the adults live today. I mean, you know, people take words and they get all offended about a word and whatever. You know, hey, I mean, worldly people say worldly things, and sometimes they might hurt. Here's the thing, though, and maybe you can deal with that, but there's people who are Christians that say things that hurt too, you know, and God loves them too. Sometimes what I try to do is just make excuses for them. Well, they didn't realize that kind of hurt my feelings. You know, they probably didn't mean it. And even if they did, who cares? You know, ultimately, I'm not, for whatever reason, I'm not capable of holding a grudge against anyone, even when people have done things that are kind of mean or rude. It's just not my nature. I mean, you know, I've never been able to do it. You know, and it's not really because of the words, just the way I am, the way I'm made up. Romans 12, 9 and 10 says this, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tight what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. So you know what? If you're going to say I love your brother and go talk about him, then you really don't really love him. You know, just like, it really bothers me sometimes when, now, especially too, if you don't want my opinion, please don't ask. And I realize we do this not to hurt people's feelings, but, you know, let's just say, and it's usually females, you know, they got a new hairstyle. And they're like, what do you think? Now, I learned this from my dad. My dad goes, well, it's different. I'll have to get used to it. But then I've seen other ladies, you know, they do that and they're, oh, I just love your hair. Oh, it's so pretty and blah, blah, blah. And then I see them talking to their friends and they're like, did you see so-and-so's hair? I can't believe they did. You just told them you liked it. Me and Dad, we just tell them it's different. I mean, that's the not hurting someone's feeling. You know, I mean, what are you supposed to say? It'll grow back. I mean, hopefully. So, I mean, you know, just be honest. You know, so point is, if you don't want an honest opinion, don't ask me, please. Because, you know, I don't want to make you feel bad, but, you know, whatever. Now, if you say, well, you don't like my shirt, I'm like, I don't care. I mean, or whatever you might say, doesn't matter. Anyway, point number three, love forgives and keeps no record of wrong. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 says this, love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not misbehave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked, and it thinks no evil. But I like the New Living Translation better. It says love is patient and kind. You know, it's interesting that the Bible has to say love is kind, because why, if you love someone, wouldn't you be kind to them? You know, but a lot of times we're not kind. You know, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. I mean, you know, so if we love someone, we're not jealous about their stuff. You know, we should genuinely be happy when someone blesses them or God blesses them. You know, I don't know how many times, I mean, I've seen people, I can't believe that God did that for them. I mean, you know, I'm a whole lot better Christian than they are, and God hasn't blessed me yet. And, of course, I always say if you want to get blessed every day, multiple times a day, make sure you carry pepper in your pocket. Sniff it a little bit, start sneezing, and everybody will say, God bless you. It's the best way to get blessed. But when those people are saying God bless you, they're not really playing God bless him. Anyway, it says that love is not rude. It does not demand its own way, so it's not selfish. All right, you know, now also too, when it says boastful or proud, there's a difference between giving a testimony and bragging. All right, you know, I do believe that we should give testimony, especially if God has blessed us. You know, give that testimony, but don't just brag about, well, God blessed me because I am ultimate Christian. And if you would be as good a Christian as me, God could bless you too. You know, that's the kind of love that we don't need. And then, you know, also too, especially to a non-Christian, I mean, don't throw it in their face. Well, I got that promotion and you didn't, because I'm a whole lot better employee than you are. You know. So, I mean, you know, that just doesn't rub non-Christians the right way. All right. Anyway, so it says this. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. You know, you shouldn't be irritated to love people. Like, I can't believe I have to love this guy. I can't believe that. No, you get to love them. If you would see them how God sees them, or see them how Jesus sees them, that you would love them. You're like, well, you know, but they're unlovable. Well, that's why they're probably the way they are. No one has seen the value in them. You know, they've probably had a tough life. Probably things have happened in their life. That's, you know, I believe probably something happened in their life that has made them the way they are. And they need somebody to show them that God does love them regardless of what's going on. But this is my favorite one. It says, it's talking about love once again, and it keeps no record of being wronged. All right, keeps no record. So how many times, you know, have you said, well, you've done it again? Well, then, if you say you've done it again, that means you're keeping a record of being wrong. You know, I actually know people who mark things down when they get wronged. You know, the Bible says not to do that. It says keep no record. You're like, yeah, but he keeps doing it. Well, we don't serve the three strikes and you're out God. Our God doesn't play baseball. Just because you play baseball and like baseball doesn't mean that that's how our God is. We don't even serve the seven strikes and you're out God. Because remember, Jesus was asked this very question. How many times do I have to forgive him? Seven times? And what was Jesus' answer? Anyone know? 70 times seven. Anybody know math? That's 490 times. Now, I have certain people say, well, that's 491, you're out. Now, my grandfather actually pointed out that's 490 times in one day. So they got 494 times the next day. I'm here to say there's probably no one that's wronged you 490 times. All right? And you know what? By that point in time, if you've kept that kind of record, you're wrong. You're in the wrong, but keep. Because see, what happens is, and when we keep a record, you know, we're like, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. That's not God's nature. That's not the nature of God. We serve a God who forgives and forgets. You know, love doesn't hold grudges. Love doesn't say, I'll forgive, but I'll forget. Love releases the offense and chooses peace. We choose to have peace. You realize there's so many times where we have the opportunity to keep an argument going or just to stop. You realize you don't have to respond to every text you get. You don't have to respond to every comment on social media just because it rubs you the wrong way. You know, you don't have to respond, because if you don't respond, usually they'll stop too. And if they don't, then you can just silence them or whatever you want to do. You know, a lot of times it just, you know, and then sometimes even the way we respond, when we're not even trying to fight, can cause a fight. I'm here to tell you, don't ever answer a text message, fine. All right, I said that one time. I meant fine, like I don't really care, just go ahead and do it. But then I'm like, how come you have the attitude? I mean, you know what, there's no attitude. I said fine. Like, I should have just said, okay, do it. No, but I said fine. And fine, you know, I wish I would have had a fine with a smiley emoji or something like that. You know, like, I should have just said okay. Okay would have helped the situation a whole lot more. You know, that's one bad thing about it. Sometimes through text or through email, you don't really get the heart, because sometimes the way you read it, it sounds offensive. When you weren't even trying to be offensive, you didn't really care. You're just like, you know, or maybe you're trying to give constructive criticism. Constructive criticism didn't go very well constructively because they just thought you're mad. There's been times I wasn't even mad. I'm just like, you know, whatever. So sometimes it's better to just pick up the phone, say, or just say okay, or whatever. You know, the other side about it, when we do keep a record of being wrong, and, you know, when we keep a record of being wrong, what happens is we remember things. You know, every time you rehearse the hurt, you reopen the wound. Have you ever had one of those, you know, like, especially this happens if you play in sports, you know, especially playing baseball, where you slide in the second base and you get the scab, like, on your elbow or depending, you know, on your leg or whatever. And then about the time the scab's like healing over, you do it again. And then you do it again. And so normally what happens is all season long you have this stupid scab that never heals. Anyone ever had that happen to me? You know, you can't wait till the off season so that way the scab will finally heal up so you can just do it again next season. You know, one of the reasons why I wear knee pads playing volleyball. But the other day, actually, I think it was in the pastor's game, I put a hole in my knee pad, because, well, it was actually my knee brace that put a hole in it and scabbed the dumb thing over it anyway. So it didn't even help. But, you know, that's what happens when we keep a record of being wrong, and then we reopen that wound, and it just irritates us over and over again. So just forget about it. Just forget about it. You know, when you forgive somebody, you should forget about it. Because that's what our God does. He forgets about it. You know, he's not reminded. You know, then Jesus adds this powerful truth. This is red letters. Now we all know Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Did you ever read Mark 11, 25, and 26? Because it says this, and whenever you stand praying, so you're standing praying. Well, I guess if you're sitting praying, that's okay too. You know, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness isn't optional if we want to walk in God's best. It's the doorway through which God's love and blessings flow. Now, I want to read that really quickly, and I didn't tell him this, but I want to go to the King James Version. I'm going to use a word that we don't use, but the way I'm going to use it, you're going to understand. So I'm going to go Mark 11, 25 and 26 in the Old King James Version. And because there's a word in here, and it says this, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father, which is also in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." So this word says, if you have aught against any. All right. Now, I know ought's not a word that we use, but I'm going to explain ought. All right. Has there ever been a situation where there's a person that done you wrong and you forgave them? And then because there is a function that both of you are invited to, whether it's a business function, whether it happens to be a wedding, whether it happens to be a birthday party, or you know, it could even be a church outing. You know, sometimes church outing in church, you sit over there, they sit over there, or they sit in the balcony, but then now we're having a fellowship time and we're over at NRC. So if you run into somebody that you have had issues with, and you don't talk to them, or you feel weird about them, that's called ought. If you're not willing to talk with them, if you feel weird, then that's ought. And you ought not to have ought. Does everyone understand ought? So what needs to happen is, if you happen to have a interaction with them, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be, then you should be able to go up and talk to them. You say, well, yeah, but what if they act weird? That's their issues, not yours. It does. If they want to have ought, they can have ought. But the Bible says for you not to have ought. And I'll give you a great example. There was one time I'm at the mall coming out of JCPenney's, if you know Woodland Hills Mall. So I'm coming out of JCPenney's. I see an individual that had said some kind of mean things about me. Now, he doesn't know that I know. I have lots of friends, all right? And I was told that he said something. And this guy's a minister, and it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. So I came out of JCPenney's, and he was walking in the mall right there, you know, not too far away. Now, he didn't see me, so I could have not, you know, interacted with him. But so my first thought was, yeah, there's that guy who said something mean and rude. And my second thought was, you know what? I forgive him. I'm going to go talk to him. And actually, so I went and talked to him, and you know, it was a really good conversation. And, you know, there was something about that conversation that really helped me, though. It helped me release whatever I was feeling, because you know what? It didn't matter what he said or whatever. Now, years later, I end up talking to him, and he actually pulled out of his briefcase my very first book, The Power of God, and he says, you know what, Craig, I carry this book with me all the time. I just read this book all the time. I carry my briefcase, you know. Now, I think if I wouldn't have went and talked to him, that he might not have carried my book all his life or whatever. You know, there was just something that we released that day. But it's going up and talking to him. Now, I could have just let him walk on. He would have never saw me. It wouldn't have been a big deal. But I needed to go talk to him. And I needed to tell him I loved him. You know, there was just something that happened. You know, and that's what we should. If we have these ought, we ought to get rid of it. Amen. All right? And if they don't get rid of it, that's their problem. All right? So, love refuses to keep record of wrongs. You know, love walks in freedom and walks in love. We should forgive quickly and freely. All right? Number four, God's love flows through us. 1 John 4:11 and 12 says this, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought," there's that word ought, "to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. When we show love to others, we're showing them what God looks like, that they may never see God, but they can feel his love through us. So it says this, if we love one another, God abides in us. And it says, you know, when we show love to others, people can feel what it feels like to love, to be loved by God. You know, we need to be a vessel of God's love. And there are some people who don't feel the love. And they don't know that God loves them. But, you know, you were a vessel of God's love, and God's love flows through me. You know, and there are some times when you're like, well, I don't really feel like love. But God is love. Stir up that gift. You know, what does it say? Power, love, and a sound mind. Love is a gift that's on the inside of you. You have the capacity to love people because you have the greater one on the inside. God loves, Jesus loves, and we can too. But see, we have to, you know, when we think about having the mind of Christ, you know, when we have the mind of Christ, we have the love of Christ. Now, you know, if we give the expression, I'm going to give a person a piece of my mind, that's not a good expression. But if we have the mind of Christ, you don't give him a piece of your mind, you give him a piece of his. Well, his mind is different than a natural human mind. So when you have a natural mind, then you need to, you know, to change that. Now, here's the deal. We're all going to mess up at some point in time. We're all going to say things that are not lovely, not happy. So what do we need to do? Forgive. Tell people you're sorry. You're like, but sorry is only good enough. You know, but, you know, it's at least a start. And mean it. You know, and sometimes maybe you should apologize even when you don't think it was your fault. It might not originally be your fault, but you probably acted on the argument. You know, I mean, you know, it just happens that way. Maybe someone else started it, but you acted on. You didn't decide just to say no. Now, here's something else. Note to self, please. If someone does you wrong and you're going to have a brain fart moment, don't post that on social media. I'm begging you. It's a lot tougher to take that back after you post on social media. You know, I mean, you know, social media can be good because you have an audience. And then how many times have you ever been watching the news and so-and-so said in a deleted tweet? You know, so even though they deleted it, Fox News got it, CNN got it, ABC got it, NBC got it. Thank God you're not a celebrity, so, you know, but somebody else saw it. You know, because I don't know how many times that people say things mean or rude on social media. And if they do, they do. Just, you know, please, if you're going to have an argument on social media, do that on direct messages to each other instead of out and open in front of everybody. Just because that's a whole other thing. All right. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:7-8 says, love bears all, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Everything else will fade. Prophecies will fade. Tongues, knowledge, but love remains. If you want to live a victorious life, never step out of love. If you walk in love, you'll walk in victory. Love will change your life. You know, we choose to love people because they're made in the image of God, and God is love. And if you love God, you love people. You don't have to love people, you get to love people. You know, point number 6, the world will know us by our love. John 13:35 once again says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. When he's talking about disciples, He's not just talking about his 12 disciples. He's talking about the followers of Jesus. Not by our preaching, it doesn't say they're going to know us. Not by our worship are they going to know us. Not by our titles. You can be prophet, apostle, or whatever you want to call yourself. I don't believe in self-proclaimed titles. You know, I don't care if you call me Pastor Craig. I don't care if you call me Reverend Craig. I don't care if you just call me Craig. It doesn't matter to me. All right? You know, the deal is some people get caught up in titles, but people don't know you by your titles. They don't know you by your preaching, your worship. They know you by your love. Do you love them no matter what? Because people don't care what you say. They care. They want to know that you care. In fact, sometimes I wonder sometimes if some pastors actually love their congregation by the way they speak. You know, the greatest testimony we can ever give is to love people the way Jesus loved them. Do you guys remember, you that are an older generation, the WWJD time? What would Jesus do? People wore the bracelets. People had the coffee mugs, the t-shirts, the bumper stickers on their car. The funniest thing I ever would see was someone had a bumper sticker, what would Jesus do? And they're over there, you can tell that they're honking and they're probably cussing in the car, doing all kinds of stuff. And you're like, sure, Jesus would do that too. Then if you talk to them, they would, if you talk to them about that, you know what they say? Well, he did turn over the money changers' tables. I always point out, well, because he didn't get breakfast, all right? So it's, read the fig tree. That was Mark chapter 11. It's before you get to 22 and 23 and 24. It's the whole purpose of this one. But anyway, you know, yeah, so Jesus did turn over the money changers' tables, but that doesn't mean you should act like an idiot every time you pull up at a stoplight. And if you are going to do that, take off your WWJD sticker, please. And definitely don't get the personalized license plate, WWJD, because then you can't take that one off. So, I mean, so. Anyway, you realize, also, I'm going to tell you this. This is something else. Do you realize that people judge us pastoral staff by your actions? You know, you don't just represent God the way you act. If people know you go to church or you happen to be a student here, you know, at Rhema Bible Training College, the way you treat others is the way they see us. So for my sake, just be nice. For pastor's sake, just be nice. I mean, you know, I know you don't think about that. Maybe it's not a big deal to you. But you know what? It might keep somebody from coming in that back door one day and meeting Jesus, and they need to, because of the way you treated them. You know, and like I said, sometimes we do have what we call brain farts. Treat them bad. Say, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that, you know, because people are watching how we treat others. Our coworkers, our family, even our enemies. And you shouldn't have any enemies. You're not allowed to hate people. My grandfather always says the only person you're allowed to hate is the devil himself. Everybody else, you have to love. You're like, yeah, but that person's bad. Okay, just because the devil's their God doesn't mean you hate them. You know, our battle's not with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers from on high. When they see love in action, they see Jesus in us. You know, we've always heard the thing, you know, that you might be the only Jesus some people will ever see. But it might be true to life. There might be somebody on the fence and saying, you know what? I need to meet Jesus. But the way you act might keep them from wanting to meet Jesus. And hopefully I'm not talking to anybody in this room. And if I am, please change. Let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart, the Bible says. Understand that you do have the capacity to love people. So let's love like Jesus loves. Let's love without limits. Let's forgive quickly. Let's keep no record of wrong. Let's show kindness even when it's not returned. Let's walk in love because love never fails. Because the love of God isn't something we talk about, it's something that we live. We get to live out the love of God. I have this confession. Let's just say it together. God's love is in me. I walk in love. I forgive easy. I refuse to be offended. I keep no record of wrongs. And love never fails. Don't just say it, but do it. Don't just say these things. You know, we say things all the time, but we're not a doer of the word. The Bible doesn't say be a sayer of the word. It says be a doer of the word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person in this room and watching online. Father God, help us to remember once again that you are a God of love. And help us to be a living example of you to a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you that every opportunity that we have to not walk in love, that you'll just alert us on the inside and that we'll stir up that gift and we'll walk in love. And when we do mess up, that we'll ask for forgiveness, that we'll ask to say we're sorry. Father God, we just pray for each and every person in this room and watching online. Help us to do what you want us to do. Father God, help us to know that there is a lost and dying and hurting world that needs to see the love of God being manifested to them. We just thank you for it now. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed, maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I'm here, but I've never asked Jesus to become Lord of my life. It's hard for me to show forth the love of Jesus because I don't know Jesus myself. If that's you, if you happen to be in this room and don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to lift your hand right now across this auditorium. I want to give you an opportunity to meet the Jesus that I know, because it's hard to walk in love if you don't know Jesus. Or maybe here today and you say, Craig, I don't know whether I know him or not. I come to church, but I've never asked him to become Lord and Savior in my life. My grandfather calls it a no-so experience. Just because you live in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. You have to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You have to ask him. If that's you, lift your hand across this auditorium. We want to make sure if anyone here that doesn't know, they can have a no-so experience. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I know who Jesus is. I walked with him for a long time, but I kind of turned my back and I went away. And today I want to publicly rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Across this auditorium, I want to give everyone a chance because it's really hard to emulate God's love if you don't know Jesus. Amen. I don't see any hands. We thank you, Father, right now. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, that you're sending laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, that they will know Jesus. And they will be able to walk in that love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Something you want to sing?
Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. And I can see in you the glory of our King. And I love you with the love of the Lord. Everybody sing that with me. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord.
I can see.
And I can see.
Like I said, we don't have to love people, we get to love people. Amen? If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you this morning. The Connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you and give you a special gift that we have for you real quickly. Amen. The way we dismiss around here, the pastoral staff will go to different doors. We want to shake your hands. And, you know, be sure to shake our hands, you know, at least once a month or whatever. I know that's why we travel on different doors, so we get to see you. Amen. Well, I encourage you to be a doer of God's word, to love people like never before. We'll see you back here tonight at 6 p.m. God bless you.